Are we hooked up? Thank you for being here today. I'm sure that you will want to give Tim a big glad you're back when he returns, and that would be altogether appropriate. You need to check the scriptures that I'm going to throw out to you today, because nothing is really satisfactory unless you take scriptures in their proper context. I think I've done that, but I challenge you to make sure that I've done it and to check on me as well. I know that there's some of you who are hard of hearing, and y'all may be the fortunate ones that's here today. So just hang with us, though, and we'll get through this. You can prove almost anything you want to with Scripture, so you have to make sure that Scriptures that I'm using are being used proper in context. I read something in the last few days that where a woman and her husband were discussing who ought to be making the coffee, and get up and, you know, I guess every morning people get up and make coffee. I don't drink coffee, but. I'm sure that's the way it happened. So they were arguing about who ought to do that, and the lady says, "Well, it's scriptural for you to do it." "How be?" he says. He says, "All you need to do is to read the book of Hebrews." That's about as corny as I can get, folks. I'm going to have a couple of main points here. One is I want to take you on a thumbnail sketch through the Bible from Adam to Jesus. That'll be fast. And then I want to ask a question. What has Christ provided for us? Or what is provided for the Christian? God has never forsaken His people. Now, there are those who believe, and some of our founding fathers were like this, that God put the earth into its proper position and just left. I heard somebody explain it's like winding a clock. You wind the clock and just walk off and leave it. Well, that's not true. That's not what the Scriptures teach. The Lord has provided for us a way that we can deal with the struggles of life. We are not alone. It doesn't mean that we won't have struggles. It just means that we're not alone as we deal with them. We have great advocates that are in our corner. So here we go, getting the thumbnail sketch from Adam to Jesus. The Lord created the earth and all that was in it. He created Adam and Eve and put them in a nice place. It's sort of like a guff front condo just filled with all the fruit and everything that you wanted to eat in it. And they weren't satisfied with that, so they got deceived and they ate of something that they weren't supposed to eat. So God kicked them out. Now that had great impact on us today, because the sin of Adam and Eve are part of our cursed attitude or place here on earth. So when they sinned and the Lord kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, then that had a great impact on you and me and everyone else that's followed them, which is everybody. So Adam and Eve then were kicked out, and sin was introduced into the world by them. It wasn't long before they had children, and Cain slew Abel in first murder and took the life of his brother. So that goes on and on, and God dealing with his people on and on from Adam up to Noah. Then he called Noah. And he says, "I want you to build an ark, because I'm going to destroy this earth with a great flood, because there's nothing on it except evil. And I want you to get your wife and your sons and their wives and put them on there with all these animals. And then I'm going to bring a big flood and I'm going to cleanse the earth, and then it will recede and you can get off the ark." And Adam followed his prescriptions in doing that and his specifications for building the ark. And then the Lord made a covenant with Adam. He said, "I'll never do this again. You can bank on it. I will never destroy the earth again by water. And here's a symbol that will show you that I will never do this again. And it's a rainbow." You ever seen a beautiful rainbow? Well, that is a reminder of God's promise of the covenant that he made with Noah, that he'd never destroy the earth again with water. So Noah then gets off the boat, and before his boots get dry, he's already drunk and naked in front of his family. Now, being drunk and being naked is a bad combination, especially when you're in front of your family. So here it is, Noah's just freshly off the ark, and he had a little bit too much to drink, and he exposed himself to his children, and they all the story about that. But anyway, things didn't get off to a great start with Noah. So sin continued in the world. So it wasn't just Adam and Eve. He cleaned the earth and then put Noah and his family and all these animals back on the earth. It was cleansed. But still, man was cursed with the original sin of Adam and Eve. Not that we inherit their sin, but we inherit the tendency to sin. Do you think man has a tendency to sin? Do you think man has a tendency to be good? Or does he have a tendency to sin? Man's decisions have been, the decisions that man makes in life have been grave, many of them. Just think about the Second World War alone and the decisions that men make about going to war. 70 million people killed. Civilians and military people killed. 70 million people. That's just the Second World War. So man has a great deal of trouble making decisions on his own that are moral decisions. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. So then we go from Noah. We start out from Noah. Noah got off on the wrong foot, got off on the right foot originally. Then he stumbled a little and got too inebriated. And then Noah, you can go back and count all the years. You know, people lived a long time back then. They didn't live 70 or 80 years. They lived a long time, 900 years, 800 years, 500 years, long time. So there's a long period of time then there between Noah and the calling of Abraham. So the Lord went out and he called Abraham and made promises to Abraham. He repeated those promises to Isaac. He repeated them to Jacob. Through your seed, all nations will be blessed, he said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That through your seed, all nations will be blessed. So then we go from seeing all the things that develop. We see the episode at Sodom and Gomorrah and all this great sins that continue in the world. It just seems that man cannot get it right. Just cannot get it right. And if you and I are relying upon ourselves to get it right, then we will live a life most miserable. If all we have to depend upon is ourselves, then we will have a life that's most miserable because we will fail in those gigantic moral decisions that must be made by all of us. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob all received the promise, and God established a covenant with them. And then they began to spread out, and they ended up in Egypt, spent, I don't know, somewhere around 300 years down in Egypt because of the famine. Moses went down there and led them out of Egypt, and the Lord led them back to Canaan, where he gave them that land because the people were so evil and sinful that the Lord brought his people there and gave them that land. They had to fight wars. As long as they were fighting them and with the Lord guiding them, they were winners. But you take the Lord out of the picture, then they start to lose. So Moses continues to lead them, leads them up to the promised land, but he didn't get to go in because he had a stumble too. So then Joshua took them in and they took over the land. And people was always complaining. Do you like to be around a bunch of complainers? No, it sort of makes me a little bit tired. It's not very difficult to make me tired, believe me. But it just sort of makes me tired to be around people who are complaining all the time. Never, nothing's ever right. Why are you serving me this steak when I wanted a pork chop? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? They get out there wandering around in the wilderness and say, take us back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave than out here doing what I'm doing. But finally, they take the land, and there's still great sin. But God hasn't forsaken them. He's still with them. He's still with them. Would we hang with someone that long? I'm sure glad that you're not depending on me, but you're depending on the Lord. So things continue to progress, and then the children of Israel go through a lot of circumstances and cycles in their life, always sinful. Then they went through a period we call the judges, where they had a judge that would come and take over, and they'd be good for a while, and then they'd fall away, and they'd get another judge, and then they'd go on and on. There were several judges, and then finally they said to Samuel, we want a king. That's what we need, a king, so that he can go out and fight our battles for us. We want to be like everybody else. You ever heard that before? Well, I don't like to be standing up here by myself. I want to be like everybody else. I want to blend in. So the Lord said, well, I don't want to give them a king, but if that's what they want, let them have it. So they went through three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. They were all one people. They were not divided at that time. And Saul, he started out good, but he stumbled. David, he came and he started out good, but he stumbled. But his stumble was different from Saul's stumble, because he was always grasping for God, reaching out there, grasping for God. But he stumbled. And then his reign lasted 40 years. Then comes Solomon. Solomon then lasted for 40 years. Then after Solomon, things fell apart again. And then they had a divided kingdom for a long time. They had people at the north called Israel, people at the south called Judah, and there they were. They all were same people, but they had two different kingdoms, and they had two different kings reigning in each one of them. Some of the kings were bad. Most of them were bad. Some of them were occasionally good. But so eventually God got fed up again. So he carried the folks off in the north into captivity by the Assyrians, who were the rulers of the world at that time, in that part of the world. And they never showed up anymore. They just took them away and they were gone. That's the whole 10 tribes of Israel were gone. They sort of blended into the Assyrian culture, and they become more like Assyrians than they did people of God. And then the two small tribes to the south called Judah, they survived longer, but eventually God got fed up with them too. That's why it's so important to have good, honest, and godly leadership, because leaders lead people in certain directions. It's always been that way. And if you don't have godly people that are leading you, you're going to end up in the wrong spot, because all of us are going to ultimately follow our leaders. So a lot of bad kings, led them a lot of bad places. They carried them off to Babylon. But that was a little bit different for them when they went to Babylon, because they got to come back sometimes later. Now during all that period of time, there were prophets that were telling them, you know, what prophets are bold people. They just tell you like it is. You're sinning, and if you don't quit it, you're out of here. People like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others, many others, were telling the people that they ought to get their lives right, but they wouldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So eventually then, a lot of prophesying by Isaiah, especially about the coming of Jesus or the Messiah. And Jesus comes just as he was prophesied that he would come. The Messiah would come. Some believed it, some did not. Just like today, some believe it, some do not. It's always been that way. So then after the Messiah came, it was still I don't know. You know, we're funny creatures, aren't we? We don't really know what we want. So what do? They took the Messiah and they crucified him with the Romans. Even though he prophesied that he would come and all of this would happen, but because there was evil in the hearts of men, that Jesus was crucified for you and for me and for all of the world. All of the world. That was the purpose for him being crucified. So, but Jesus wasn't one to lay down on the job. So he was resurrected and came back. And then he was going back into heaven to join God. That's where he came from. But before he left, he told us some things that ought to perk us up here. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said that he would not leave us here alone, and we would not be left as orphans. But he was going to send or give us an advocate, someone who speaks in our behalf, a comforter. And if you look at John chapter 14, where's that start? Somewhere around, what have I got up there? Well, anyway, read the whole chapter. That'll help you anyway. But if you go down a little ways from where I stopped in my scriptures and read about the 25th verse, you hear him say something like this. I'm going to give you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Does that scare you? Does spiritual things scare you? You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand. There's a lot of things in the Bible that is not clear. And when the Lord says that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and I'm going to put him in you if I don't fall here, and he is going to guide you and he is going to teach you, because I'm going to be gone and I won't be here. Now that's what the Christian is promised. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Can your mind wrap itself around that concept? Well, let me say to you that if you and I or anyone that I know or you know are trying to live a Christian life without the help of the Spirit, we are doomed to failure. Why is that? Why is that? Because you and I are tarnished by sin. We are tarnished by sin. The sin that was introduced by Adam and Eve is a curse to us. And we bear that curse throughout our life because we have a tendency to do evil and to do wrong. We have a tendency to make decisions that affects the lives of others or take the lives of others. If we do not include in that equation, if we do not allow the Spirit to guide us and to teach us, as Jesus said that he was going to leave with us, then we are excluding a major part of how we can succeed as being a Christian. How can you be a Christian, Paul says in Romans 8 and 9, he says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to me. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Now, there's some things in the Bible, even though you and I may not always understand everything that's being said, It ought to run our antennas up real high. When the scripture says, is if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot belong to Christ, that ought to run my antenna up. Because the Spirit of Christ, why is it so necessary? Why is God such a wonderful plan where he says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ, because of what I've just said, because man is so inherently evil. Don't call me evil, somebody might be saying. Wretched then. Is that better? Have you ever introduced your friend? This is my wretched friend, Rex. Would he like that? Is there any precedent for someone that's of high esteem in the Bible to call themselves wretched? You see, Apostle Paul was there saying, you know, the very things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. You ever had that experience? Have you ever experienced in life doing something that you ought not to do and you know you ought not to do it? And have you experienced the same thing, saying there is some things that I know I should do that I don't do? And he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Thanks be to God for the grace of Christ. You see, it ought to run up our antenna when it says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. You belong to somebody. I belong to somebody. All of us belong to somebody. All of us subscribe to something. But the Bible says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. So if you are existing and you belong and we belong to something other than that, then it ought to run our antennas up and say, what am I doing? How can I possibly deal with all the stress and pressures of this life in the absence of the Spirit of Christ living in me? How can it be done? How can you traverse a Christian life without the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you? Then the other scripture that runs my antenna up is in that coffee brewing chapter or book of Hebrews, chapter 11. What does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, he doesn't say without faith you might get by pleasing God. But Hebrews chapter 11 says without faith it is impossible to please God. Now those two things ought to run our antennas up real high. You got to have the Spirit in you if you belong to Christ. If you don't, you can make no claim. You have no faith, it's impossible to please God. Where do I get those things? Here I am, a tarnished, cursed human being because of the original sin of Adam and Eve. Now, there are religious groups that believe that the actual sin of Adam and Eve is transferred to each of us when we're born. There are some religious groups that believe that. That's why they baptize babies, because they believe that baptism is for the remission of sins, and they believe that everyone that's born into this life inherits the sin of Adam and Eve. Not that this thing is imputed to them in the form of a curse, but the actual sin. But we know that the Bible teaches different from that. But nevertheless, that's why some children are baptized in some religious groups, because they think that they arrive here in sin because of Adam and Eve. So they baptize them for the remission of their sins. We don't believe that here. So how do I find it? Where do I get it? Where do I get this? Where do I get this faith? Are you looking for it? Look under the pew, in a book, read a book, do whatever you want to do. But you know what you're going to find out? That the Spirit is a gift. I put the scriptures up there to verify. And that faith is a gift. It's not something that you can go out and find on your own. It's like so many things that God provides for us so that we can handle, not avoid, the stresses and toughness of this life. You think this life is tough? We have tough situations that we have to deal with, but they are minor compared to some other places of the world. Most of us are eating good. We have a good place to live and so forth. But they're gifts. If you're looking for them for something other than a gift, you will be disappointed. Because the scripture says that the Spirit is a gift and faith is a gift. Now, I'm sure that this is something that you already know, and I'm just reminding you of it. But remember what John said in chapter 14 about the Spirit. He was going to send the Spirit dwell in us so that it could lead us and teach us and remind us of those things that we need to know and to do. It's hard to go through this life with all the difficulties that we face. And you don't know when something's going to happen to you. I lived a charmed life for many years. And then all of a sudden, things changed. You've heard the old saying, this too will change, or this too will pass. Well, I know that from a reality, that this too will pass. Whatever difficulties in your life will pass, whatever good things are happening to you in life, it will also pass. Have you verified that in the laboratory of life? Have you seen that in the laboratory of life? When I grew up in a little place over here called Perry in Taylor County in Florida. I'd say it's the redneck capital of the world, not just Florida. And there was some vague things that went on around me that caused me to know that that there was a religious side of life, but I was not a part of it. But I want you to know that now that I'm almost 82 years old, I can look back on things that's happened in that life and tell you that God has been stalking me since I was a child. And I didn't even know it. How could it be? So that a decision from a person like me that could bring me to certain places and make certain decisions, it could not have been just me. How could I have ended up in Memphis, Tennessee, which was a pivot point in my life and in my career? Why? Well, first of all, I met a group of people there that were different, and I met my wife there who was different. And we got married, which was different. And we've been married almost 60 years, which is also different. Now, I'm saying to you that that could not have happened just because I am such a good decision maker on things of life. That happened because God was stalking me. He was placing me in places. He put me there. There were plenty of other girls in Memphis, Tennessee that I could have married, I think. But why, of all of those that were there, did I choose Becky? Because I'm so smart and I'm so wise? Or is the Spirit placing her there in front of me, a wholesome young woman? What she saw in me is a mystery, not only to me, but to a lot of others. But I say that to you, that the Lord has not left me without guidance. The Lord has not left any of us without guidance. If we try to traverse this life neglecting our faith, which is a gift, neglecting the Spirit, which is a gift, I emphasize to you again, it will be a difficult road to hoe. You can see, as Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about people who live in the flesh, here's what they are akin to: sexual immorality, debauchery, orgies, disharmony. And then he says, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, understanding, self-control. I wish I could tell you that I had self-control all the time, because I'm not. That's not true. It's not because I don't have the resources that provides me with the guidance and the teaching that I need, and the nudging that I need. And I need plenty of nudging in this life. And there are those who are facing tremendous trauma in their life. I would never have dreamed that two or three years of my life would have been taken and carved out and taken and placed in another place to do a different thing, because I was living a charmed life. So I thought. But God is mysterious, and He does mysterious things in your life, in my life, in others' lives. We should never erase the mystery from the existence of God. God sees things from a different point of view. I'm seeing it this way. He's seeing it from the backside. Or as we talk about in our study, going through the Bible, the upper story. He sees the upper story. I hadn't heard that expression until we started studying that. But He sees things with a different perspective than we do, that we can't see. I know that Paul got a glimpse of that, because I can read it and see that he had a glimpse of what's on the backside, not just what I can see from the front, not just what I can see looking out at you today, but what's in the backside, what's coming down from the heavenly part of it. That's the thing that we don't see, and why it's sometimes difficult for us to understand. And that's why faith is so important. Faith has us to hold on until such times that we can go back to the Scripture and understand what it is that the Lord is explaining, or until He comes. Faith will draw us back. I do not believe for a minute that it's an oversight by the Spirit or God or anybody else, that things begin to take on a different view from the Scriptures. And we always are going back. We're always are going back and finding new things. I don't think that that's an accident. I think that's exactly as the Spirit and God and Christ would have it. always driving us back and stretching us, but never, never, never leaving us alone. Never leaving us alone. We always have those strengths, those powers that are there. Many people came to Jesus out of curiosity. They didn't care anything about it. They just saw a big crowd. So they went over there. That's true today. But how many people are there because the Spirit led them there? Those are the ones that Jesus are looking for. There's curiosity seekers everywhere. But how many of them are there because the Spirit led them there? I can tell you that I'm one of those that the Spirit led me there. I am not smart enough, and I am not morally equipped to make those decisions on my own. If the Spirit is not working and helping me, and if I do not have the faith that I need to hold on, things will pass. The Lord is always there. The Spirit is always there. We just need to take advantage of it. And take advantage of it. Not try to solve it all on our own, but to take advantage of it. What brought you here today? I know it wasn't just to hear me. I'm fairly certain of that. But what brought you here? Are you here just because you're curious? Are you here because the alarm clock went off and the mother came in and kicked you out of bed and said, "Get ready, we're going"? Or are you here because the Spirit led you here? And you couldn't resist it if you even wanted to, if you allow the Spirit to work in your life. Now, there's a lot more to this story. And I've already got somebody at the back of the line at the Cracker Barrel, so I'm going to quit. And because I don't know what's on this paper, I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. You know, that's a bad thing about a guy like me speaking who doesn't have any notes. You never know what he's going to say. And I want to be honest with you as I can be. Neither do I. Neither do I. When I stepped here this morning, I had no idea what I would say. I don't know how many times I've done this, but several, not on a regular basis, or I'd be in Chattahoochee. But I've done it several times. But I can say to you that every time that I have stepped here in this place, I have never known what I was going to say. Now that's an omen of some sort. But to me, it says to me, the Lord has never let me down. To you, you may say, I don't know so much about that. But if you came because the Spirit led you, great. If you came because you're curious, great. You're here. If you need to say to yourself, or if you want to come down the front and say it, or whatever you want to do, that from this day on, the trials and the stresses of life will not be dealt with my inability to make good moral decisions, but they will be made with the help of the Spirit and the help of my faith that dwells in me, which are both gifts from God. You'll not find them anywhere else. They're gifts. Isn't that wonderful? To have a gift like that, oh man, I just cannot believe it. So whatever your needs are, we're here to serve you, and you may stand and as we sing. Thank you.